As has been said to us as younger preachers, as myself, the preaching days of 3 points in a poem of the past are still wanted. But the younger generation want stories. They want narratives which they can relate to. And then they want an application in which they can see exactly what you are asking them to do. This evening I want to give a mixture of the two. I want to give you some stories, some narratives from the Scriptures. And you can follow along with these verse by verse as we go through them and see these stories and what they unfold in the single important message from each of them, which will set us up for an application that I think will be most beneficial to us as we relate to these stories first and foremost. These stories are all about love, and in sharing this message of love concerning these biblical accounts of love, they leave me saying, as you might see on the screens, "Oh, that's so sweet." And I feel that this evening you might be left with the same impression. The first story we want to look at is the story of love at first sight. Love at first sight. Look with me in Genesis chapter 24. In Genesis chapter 24, you might recall that Isaac is one who has been looking for a bride. And in looking for that bride, his father Abraham has given a servant some instructions to go and find a wife for Isaac from Abraham's native land of Mesopotamia. But no matter what, the servant is not allowed to take Isaac there to live. Abraham remembers the Lord's promise concerning the land of Canaan, and his servants agree to Abraham's instructions. And the servant loads up 10 camels and loads them down with gifts and then departs. The servant prays, asking the Lord to cause the woman that is chosen for Isaac to volunteer to provide water for him and for his camels. And by such he would recognize who the chosen woman was. And before the servant is able to even finish praying, Rebekah appears on the scene and feels the very sign which he has asked for. When the servant gives Rebekah some gold jewelry, her brother invites the servant into his house. The servant then recounts to Laban the mission that Abraham has given to him and sent him out on, and how that God has answered his prayers and his initial meeting with Rebekah has taken place. The servant then gives Rebekah more costly jewelry and more clothing and invites her to accompany him back to the land of Canaan to marry Isaac. We pick up there in Genesis chapter 24, beginning in verse number 57 and going through verse 67. And while you're turning there and getting your finger on the spot, as we study this evening, upon the request for Rebekah to go back to the land of Canaan with the servant, her brother and her mother say to the servant, "Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she may go." Verse 55. Abraham's servant responds to that request, "Do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master." Verse 56. Then comes verse 57. "So they said, 'We will call the young woman and ask her personally.' Then they called Rebekah and said to her, 'Will you go with this man?' And she said, 'I will go.'" Oh, how sweet. Having not seen Isaac, she is willing to go with the servant back to Canaan to marry Isaac. Is she trusting in the Lord? As we continue to read, we look at verse number 64. We see Rebekah's love at first sight. Verse 64. "Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel For she had said to the servant, "Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took a veil and covered herself. Rebekah is riding in on a camel into the land of Canaan to where Isaac is awaiting her. Isaac is coming in the field to meet her. She asked the servant, "Who is this is coming out here?" He says, "That is my master." That's Isaac. She dismounts off her camel and goes to meet him. And you can picture it in your mind, running through that field in slow motion to meet one another. It's love at first sight for Rebekah. But what about Isaac? Verse 67, it's love at first sight for Isaac as well. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Isaac, upon meeting Rebekah, takes her in to be his wife. And to that, oh, it's so sweet indeed. The second love story that we see is just a few chapters later, Genesis chapter 29, we come across the seven-year itch. Now, if you see the screen, it has an exclamation mark at the end of the seven-year itch. And anyone who recognizes the seven-year itch and what that is, you're saying, how can someone be excited about the seven-year itch? Well, I think you'll understand here in just a moment as we share these thoughts. The phrase itself, the seven-year itch, refers to a period in a relationship when the parties reevaluate the relationship and they contemplate ending the relationship. Usually it follows that time in which they have become accustomed to one another's quirks, if you will, and they get to the point where those quirks are starting to be irritating. And they really just irritate you and bug you, and you want to do something about it, but you don't know what to do about it, and so you just let that fester inside of you, and then there's the big explosion. Well, the couple is at that point where they're familiar with one another's strengths and weaknesses, and they choose to focus on the weaknesses. And when that explosion occurs, it doesn't look good. The seven-year itch in Genesis chapter 29, Jacob meets Rachel by a well and rolls away a huge stone from its entrance, so that she can water her father's sheep. Her father is Laban, Jacob's uncle, and Jacob and Laban meet each other and decide that Jacob should work for Laban. Look at verses 13 through 17 of Genesis chapter 29. Then it came to pass that Laban heard the report about Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. So he told Laban all these things, and Laban said to him, "Surely you are bone, and you are my bone and my flesh." And he stayed with him for a month. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Jacob asked to marry Rachel in exchange for 7 years of work for Laban. Follow with me, verses 18 to 21. Now Jacob loved Rachel. So he said, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your daughter." And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love that he had for her. My, how time flies when we're in love. Verse 21, then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in to her." 7 years Jacob has labored and toiled for Laban. And now it is time for him to receive the prize which he has so diligently worked for. But on the eve of the wedding, Laban secretly substituted Leah for Rachel, forcing Jacob into a position where he must yet work another 7 years. Verse 22 and following. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob, and he went in to her. And Laban gave his maid Zelpha to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me?" And Laban said, "It must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years." Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as wife also. And Laban gave his maid Bilha to his daughter Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob also went in to Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served Laban still another 7 years. 7 years Jacob worked and labored waiting for the prize of Rachel, only to be tricked by Laban into having Leah to be his wife. He worked another 7 years. Based upon verses 27 and verse 30, we might conclude then that the 7-year itch did not work on Jacob. Third story this evening is opposites attract. Look at Ruth chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2. Ruth was a poor widow, volunteers herself to pick up grain left over from the fields of some kindly farmer so she and Naomi would have food and grain to eat. As Ruth sets out to gather grain, she picks a field that belongs to Boaz, a wealthy man. Opposites attract. Ruth chapter 2 through chapter 4, we find this story, that while Ruth is picking grain that was left behind, Boaz arrives and inquires about her. Boaz tells her to stay in the field and then praises Ruth for her kindness toward Naomi. Chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. Boaz then invites Ruth to eat what he provides for the harvesters. He also instructs his workers to leave plenty of barley in the fields for Ruth. Ruth chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And when she arose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let grain from the bundles fall purposefully to the ground. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. To that we might say, "Oh, that's so sweet. Boaz, a rich farmer, has a farm, has a field, has many harvesters who are harvesting this field. Ruth is taking it upon herself to care for another, Naomi. And in doing so, Boaz recognizes her kindness and blesses her for it and provides additional means for her to gain barley. Upon the return home, Ruth tells Naomi about Boaz's kindness, and Naomi blesses Boaz and tells Ruth that he is a close relative whom she might marry. In doing so, we pick up, beginning in chapter 3, that Naomi gives Ruth instructions for presenting herself as a potential spouse for Boaz. She sends Ruth to find Boaz at the threshing floor and to wait until Boaz finishes his meal and lies down. When Boaz does lie down, Ruth is told to lie down at his feet. Boaz awakes in the middle of the night and finds Ruth, who is lying at his feet. She then asked him to perform his duties as her family redeemer. Boaz, being a very wise and knowledgeable individual, tells of a closer relative that must first decline to marry Ruth. But if he does indeed decline to marry Ruth, Boaz agrees that he will marry Ruth. Skipping forward in the account just a bit to chapter 3 and verse 18, Naomi assures Ruth that Boaz will not rest until he has followed through concerning her request for marriage. Now, in chapter 4, we find that at the town gate, Boaz meets with the other family redeemer and 10 town leaders, informing them of the other family redeemer's first chance to buy the family's land, but in addition to buying the family's land, he must also marry Ruth. This other family redeemer is interested in the land, but not if he has to marry Ruth and endanger his own estate, and so he declines. The family redeemer offers Boaz then an estate and validates the transaction by giving him a sandal. Ruth becomes Boaz's wife because of the first family redeemer declining to marry Ruth. And because Ruth and Boaz are given to marry, she gives birth to a son. Chapter 4 and verse number 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went in to her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And yes, you guessed it. Oh, that's so sweet. So sweet of Boaz to do this for Ruth and for the care of Ruth and provide for her as he has done. Verses 18 through 22 of Ruth chapter 4 reveals that in God's marvelous plan, Boaz and Ruth would come together and be the great grandparents of King David. God's marvelous plan in action when it comes to opposites attract. I hope that in some way you have been able to relate to someone or recall someone that you're closely associated with who may have been in one of those situations of love at first sight. Maybe instead of a love at first sight situation, maybe you found yourself in a position of being an opposites that attract. Or maybe it was the case, as in our second point, that you were a part of a 7-year itch that didn't go the direction of bad, but in the direction of good. And your marriage has been super blessed because of it. I hope that you can relate to these stories, because I'm almost certain that all can relate to our final story, which we discuss as we conclude. It's the happily ever after. The story of happily ever after. God created the world, including man, Genesis chapter 1. And indeed, it was love at first sight. He then allowed man to have freedom of choice, Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden and to tend it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." Based upon that freedom of choice, man made some bad decisions. And the 7-year itch came into being. God in His holiness and man in his sin were opposite to one another. Man was separated from God, yet God was not willing to allow this 7-year itch of man to end His relationship with man. And it was because of God's love for His creation and His desire for man to live happily ever after that He provided salvation for fallen man. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, speaking of Jesus Christ, "Though He was a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. And having been perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him." all along the way, all along the path of relationship between God and man, God has sustained and strengthened that relationship with man. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 26. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. To continue His relationship with us, God gave His Son. He gave His Son for our sins. John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He showed us true love, Romans 5, 8, and 9, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. The biblical account of God's love shows Him providing an eternal inheritance for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. So I ask you, in understanding God's story of happily ever after, do you want to live the happily ever after? Do you want to live the life of happily ever after that God had in store for mankind? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Acts chapter 3 and verse number 19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 37, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the Ethiopian eunuch answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, the question comes, and now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. God has given us these love stories so that we may relate to them. And by our relation to them, we might understand the love story which He has for us. That we were His love at first sight. We caused a 7-year itch because of our freedom of choice and our making bad decisions. That 7-year itch caused a separation in which we, living in sin, are separated from God. But God's love is greater than the opposites between His holiness and our sinfulness. And therefore, He made a way, provided a path, that we might be joined with Him once again and live happily ever after. On that great and glorious day in which our Lord returns and the judgment is ushered in, we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will be judged according to the deeds, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And it's at that time that He will look at those on His right hand and He will say to them, come, you blessed of my Father, enter into the rest prepared for you from the foundations of the world. You want to live the happily ever after? I know I certainly do. I want to live the happily ever after throughout eternity with my Father, who has shown me love that is so far beyond anything that I could ever imagine. But yet He has provided these stories that I might understand it and come to Him. If you want to live the happily ever after with God, as God designed it, God planned it for you and for me, then you must come to Him as we stand and as we sing.